Tales with Ursel Ellis from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and a bright and sunny day here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand. And we're going to go right to Steve Moody today. Steve, of course, is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and it's published by Bruce, and you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form, and that phone you hear ringing is the Clocker's phone. Steve, are you with me?
I'm here, Ursel.
All righty, well, let's go with it. Who do you like? Well, I know who you like, but it's kind of surprising who you like in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So tell people who you like and why.
Well, Ursel, I thought all year that, or at least the last half of the year, that the older colts weren't a real stellar bunch. Is one reason why I really liked Havre de Grace when she ran against the colts in the Woodward Stakes back in late August at Saratoga, and she handled that group reasonably easy. She won by about a little over a length against Flat Out. And, of course, I know Flat Out came back to win the Belmont, or not to win the Gold, Jockey Club Gold Cup. And you know, he's worked well at Churchill, but he's never run particularly well there. He's started twice and been off the board twice. And I just can't really get fired up about any of these older colts. And I just think that the horse that coming in from Europe or via Australia, so you think, is I think he's the best 10 furlong horse in the world. And you know, he's won on two continents and won the Cox Plate twice. It ran in the Melbourne Cup. I think he was third in there, and of course gone to Europe and won over there, beating some of the best horses in the world on the grass. And so the question is, I think he's a horse of tremendous quality, but can he handle the dirt? And and looking at his pedigree, I know some people think that he's strictly bred for turf, but I don't look at it that way. I mean, I see he's crossed, I think he's 3x4 to Northern Dancer, and last time I checked, Northern Dancer won going 1.25 miles on dirt at Churchill Downs, if I remember correctly. And
your memory's pretty good.
So I did it in track record time, at least at the time. And he's got Round Table in his pedigree on the dam side, and of course Round Table, one of the all-time greats, has set multiple records, track records during his career. About 12 of them were on dirt. And then he's got, back on the sire side, he's got Hail to Reason and Bold Reason. And so I just think there's enough dirt there. Even if you go back even further, you get back to Blue Larkspur and Man of War. So I think there's some dirt pedigree there, at least enough to handle this group. So that's who I'm going to take in the Classic. So You Think, he's going to be a reasonable price. He's 5-1 on the morning line, and you know, Havre de Grace is going to get bet, and Flat Out will get bet, and some of these other ones will take some money. So I think he'll be a decent price. Uncle Mo will be interesting to see how the people bet him. I just don't like him at all going 1.25 miles. If he beats me, he beats me, but I just don't see it. And I'm going to take So You Think on top. Drosselmeyer, who has come on for Bill Mott, and of course Bill Mott had a big day yesterday, went in the Ladies Classic, and Drosselmeyer's won at Churchill Downs before. I think the distance suits him. And then I'm going to take the filly, who I think's been probably the most consistent runner, older horse all year long. I'm going to take her third. So we'll go 5-3-10 in the Classic.
Interesting race, isn't it? You know, if Uncle Mo does win this thing, he's a super horse. He's going into it off of 7/8 in a mile race, and you know, it's going to be a big task for him.
I agree, Hurst. I mean, he's going to face him. You know, Game On Dude is going to show speed in here, and I can't possibly. I don't see Uncle. Maybe Uncle Mo won't do it for the lead, but I can't see him being very far out of it.
No, me either.
So I just, you know, like I said, if he beats me, the more power to him. But
amen.
if he wins, he'll win without me.
All righty. Well, let's back up a race and go to the Breeders' Cup Mile.
All right. Well, of course, they've traditionally, of course, the race prior to the Classic has always been the Breeders' Cup Turf. But this year, with of course the big story surrounding Goldakova, they moved that race to the race before the Classic and kind of tried to feature it. And you know what a story this has been, Ursel. I mean, this mare has just been incredible. Not only to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic or the Breeders' Cup Mile 3 years in a row, but to win it. Three in a row, and then now come back and be favored to do it for the just unthinkable four times in a row. Just amazing. And, of course, the Europeans have traditionally dominated in the grass races, and some people think that maybe she's lost a step this year, but I'm not so sure that's the case. Even if she has lost a step, I don't think any of this bunch can beat her. The only way I could maybe see her losing is to another European, and the eight horse Byword is one that she's beaten this horse twice. But I think the Byword does get helped a little bit. Maybe there'll be a little bit of cut in the ground after the rain they had on Thursday. Goldakova would probably like it toward the firm side, good to firm. And Byword, I think, moves up if it's soft. Now, it's probably not going to be soft, not going to be yielding, but it might be good. And that might help Byword a little bit. But... I would give him an outside chance, and possibly the 11 horse strong suit, the 3-year-old, who was very impressive winning a sprint last time out. But this is his first time going around two turns and going as far as the mile. So I think it's maybe a little bit further than he wants to go, although he is certainly looks to be improving, and wouldn't be totally shocked if he won. The other horse, the American horse that I think is really sharp right now, is the 12 horse Compliance Officer. This is a New York bred of all things, but this horse is just absolutely on top of his game right now. I'm going to maybe use him underneath in the trifecta or superfecta, a big price horse. He's 30-1 on the line. I think he could certainly get in there for part of it, but I'm going to take the everybody's sentimental choice here, Goldakova. I'm taking her right back, using Byword second, Compliance Officer third. So 1-8-12 in the Breeders' Cup Mile.
1-8-12. I kind of look for Giapponte to get a piece of it. He always does. You know, he's. Usually first, second, or third right there. And he's just a dead game horse.
He is. He was impressive winning the Shadwell at Keeneland. And, I think he's the firmer the ground is, the better he likes it. So I think since we haven't had any rain since Thursday, it'll be, like I said, it might have some give to it, but I think it'll suit him okay.
All right, Steve, let me take a little break, and we'll come back and take a look at the juvenile. Is that okay with you?
All right.
Well, Blame Winner of the 2010 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic is standing his second season at stud next year, of course, at Claiborne Farm. Covered an exceptionally fine book of quality mares in his first season at stud. And his 2012 stud fee is $35,000 due in a full stanza nurses. The Breeders' Cup Classic is one of three Grade 1 stakes won by Blame. Last year on his way to his Eclipse Award, he won the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Stephen Foster. Retired with earnings of over $4,368,000. In stakes last weekend, the Jersey Juvenile Stakes in Monmouth was won by Delibernski, a two-year-old son of Flatter. Delibernski is the 18th 2011 stakes winner by Flatter, a list that includes Grade 1 stakes winner Flat Out, who goes postward today in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the Grade 2 stakes winner Tar Heel Mom, who is scheduled to go in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Flatter is to stand the 2012 season for $10,000 doing the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, hip number 363 selling Tuesday, November 8 at Keeneland is an outstanding weanling colt. February 4 foal is by Medaglia d'Oro, who currently ranks fourth on the general sire list. This colt is a half-brother to three stakes winners, including Lotta Kim, the dam of Rachel Alexander, horse of the year, earner of over $3,500,000, and, like Hip 363, sired by Medaglia d'Oro. He's in the Indian Creek consignment in barn 14, and he was raised on the same farm that has already produced six champions and a long list of superior runners, such as the Factor, who goes today in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint. Also in the Indian Creek consignment are a Grade 2 stakes winner in Fold a Lemon Drop Kid, a Grade 2 producer in Fold 2 Candy Ride, a Grade 1 stakes winner in Fold a Pulpit. Then in Indian Creek's Thursday consignment, you'll find weanlings by Dixie Union, Bluegrass Cat, Rockport Harbor, 2 by Street Sense, Storm Atlantic, mares in Fold 2 Mineshaft, Warfront, City Zip, 2 in Fold 2 Congrats, Quality Road, plus 4 well-bred racing and breeding prospects. They're in barn 46, and then remember, as a reminder, for all your equine insurance needs, go to the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, Kentucky. They've been insuring many of the world's finest thoroughbreds since 1931. The Pin Oak Stallions, Bob and John, Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Bob and John won Grade 1 stakes and earned over $996,000. He's by Seeking the Goal, out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Melody's Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, and he's the sire of 9 2-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop to race this year. Broken Vow is the sire of 14 2011 stakes horses, including graded stakes winner Broken Dreams, who is scheduled to start today in the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and multiple Grade 1 turf stakes winner Sassy Image, one of 4 Grade 1 winners by Broken Vow. Broken Vow is a multiple graded stakes winner by Unbridled out of a daughter of Nijinsky II. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by champion sire Giants Causeway out of a daughter Seeking the Goal. His first foals are weanlings. Watch for them at Keeneland's November sales. Sky Classic is sired 59 stakes winners, over 100 stakes horses, 10 Grade 1 stakes winners. Winner of an Eclipse Award of over $3,320,000. Sky Classic is by the great Nijinsky II. For more information about the Pin Oak Stallions, call Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty, we're getting back to... This is Steve Mooley with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and we're going to take a look at the Great Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Grade 1 for $2 million. Interesting race. Interesting race. Well, they all are, but this one is also. Who do you like in here, Steve?
Well, Ursula, of course, the favorite in here, no doubt, will be Union Rags. He comes off two dominating wins in his last two starts and stuff. Stakes races after winning Saratoga, and then came back in the Champagne last time and won just as easily. No doubt he's 2-1 in the morning line. He'll probably get bet down below that. He's the one to beat, but he will be trying. Two turns for the first time. The race in the Champagne, of course, is at Belmont, which is a one-turn race going a mile. And This is a little different. Obviously set up at Churchill Downs where it's two turns. That's the one thing that you have to kind of wonder how he'll take to that. You've got, I think, some good horses coming in here from California. The four-horse Drill for Bob Baffert and the seven-horse Creative Cause. Creative Cause has won three of four. Got into trouble in the one race where he got beat and finished third, but got moved up to second. Then, of course, came back after the race he lost and came back and won in the Norfolk Stakes. So that's where I landed Ursel because of his he's already been around two turns. And he followed up the win last time out. He's followed that up with some nice works for his connections, and I think he's got a big shot in here. Joel Rosario was rider, won a race yesterday, and I think this horse would be a decent price. He's 7-2 morning line. And I'm going to give him a shot to upset the favorite Union Rags. I'm going to use the Baffert Colt Drill. I'm going to use him in there in the three spot. So we're going to go 7-10-4 in the juvenile.
I agree with you for that. I like that horse, too. I was very impressed with his win in the Norfolk Stakes. And he looked like a horse who wants to run all day, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the ground, he's a horse that I think you could, going into next year that, you would think he gets on the Derby trail that, he'll be, as the races get longer, I think they'll just move him up even more.
Yeah, he's a Giants Causeway. All right, very good. How about the Breeders' Cup Turf?
Well, the Breeders' Cup Turf basically is which European do you want to take? you've got five of them in here with St. Nicholas Abbey, the one, Serafina, the two, Await the Dawn, the six, Sea Moon, the seven, and Midday, the nine. And any of those five could win it. I really don't see any of the other horses. Well, the best of the American contingent would appear to be the Ramsey horse, Dean's Kitten, but I think the Europeans have this group over a barrel. I ended up going with the female Serafina. She had a three race win streak snapped last time out in the Arc, but I think she can bounce back here. She loves a mile and a half distance. She's won $1 million just going a mile and a half during her career. And, like I said, we had a little rain Thursday. I think that helps her any sort of, given the ground, she likes. And, I think she's going to be, very tough in here. My second choice in there was Await the Dawn. She came back and she was beaten her. He came back and was beaten by Midday. When he came back from a little bit of a layoff in a race at York, I think that was the International, but he came out of that race sick, and I think you can kind of sort of draw a line through that. He's apparently over that, and I think you'll see a big effort from him today. And then the bottom horse, Midday. I'm going to use him in the three spot, but like I said, Ursula, in any of the five Euros, I think will be could easily win it. They're really, really tough to separate, but we're going to go 2-6-9 in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
2-6-9, very good. All right, how about the Dirt Mile?
The Dirt Mile. This is an interesting race, Ursula, because you've got You've got sprinters that are stretching out, going a mile, and then you've got horses that are route horses that are shortening up in the case at Churchill Downs, where a mile is a one-turn race out of the chute. And I've always been of the opinion that I love late-running sprinters in those mile races at Churchill. I like late-running sprinters over routers that are switching up, you know, running in one of these long sprints. And I know there's going to be some heat in this race with the Factor from Baffert's Barn. I mean, he's going to be zipping out there. He has to go from the rail, so I think he's going to be out there rolling. And there's plenty of other speed in here with Trap Shot and Irrefutable and Jersey Town. And I think the pace is going to be pretty quick. Shackelford's not going to be very far back, and I think it really sets up for one of these late running sprinters. And more I looked at it, the more I liked Caleb's Posse. Just kind of throw out his last race. His last two sprint races were 7 furlongs. Were just monsters. Those were his best races of the year. And I just think this one-turn mile just fits him absolutely perfectly. And if he runs back to one of those seven furlong races, I think he's going to be very, very tough in here. So I'm going to give him the edge. I know the five-horse Wilburn beat him last time out. But I think that I'm going to take Caleb's Posse to turn the tables. But I am going to use Wilburn. He's won 3 in a row. Probably never been better than he is right now. And he's shown he can win going short or long. He's got some versatility about him. So I'm going to take him 2nd, and then Factor, who I figured is going to make the pace from the rail, maybe can hang for 3rd. So we're going to go 8-5-1. In the dirt mile.
8-5-1 in the dirt mile. Next up will be the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Always a great race. I know Chris McCarron said that's one of the most dangerous races to ride, that in the first turn of the Derby. Let me take a little break here, and we'll get back and take a look. Is that okay with you, Steve?
All right.
All right, appreciate it. Well, Mill Ridge Farm consigned 2 yearlings by Mizzenmast to the recent Fasig Tipton Fall Yearling Sale. A colt sold for $60,000, a filly for $65,000. Perhaps the bidders had seen Ultimate Eagle win the Grade $250,000 Oak Tree Derby at San Anito on October 15. A Misdirections gained performance in the Grade II Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keenan on October 22, a race in which she was beaten less than a length after a rough trip. Of course, Misdirection has won the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar and has finished 2nd in the Grade II San Clemente at Del Mar, and Manhattan Beach Stakes at Hollywood Park this year. Ultimate Eagle and Misdirection are typical Mizzenmast, game, versatile, and classy. Mizzenmast, a proven sire of Grade 1 Stakes winners, stands at Judmont Farm, home of the brilliant and fast Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense, Bun Bridal Song, at a Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady, a daughter of Seattle Slough, and Grade 1 Stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year Troussade. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at JudmontFarm.com. Well, horses raised on McCauley Brothers products have won 19 Grade 1 stakes this year. Not only that, the sales topper at this year's Keeneland September sales and the sales topper at Saratoga were both raised on McCauley products. It's been another superb year for McCauley Associates. As a reminder, in 2010, 7 Eclipse Awards and 3 7 Awards were garnered by Associates of McCauley Brothers, and the list included the Great Zenyatta, Horse of the Year in the USA, and Biofuel, Horse of the Year in Canada. Zenyatta, foaled and raised at Don Robinson's Winter Quarter Farm, by a foal at Mr. and Mrs. Burt and C. Jones' Airdrie Stud. Now that's the record to be proud of. And the beat continues. Just last Sunday at Churchill Downs, the Grade 3 Iroquois was won by Motor City, a colt bred by Susie Shoemaker at her Lannan Hill Farm. Always the leader in their field, McCauley's is the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. To join the winning team, just call Daryl Ward or Mike Warren, 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. And good luck today to all in the Breeders' Cup. Well, the great Tiz now is the only two-times winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. At stud, he's gained the reputation for siring the big horse, a grade one runner. He has sired 16 grade one runners, and one of them is the fleet Tiz Deja Vu, a long stride and catch me if you can front runner. Tiz Deja Vu led from wire to wire to win the grade two firecracker at Churchill. He won the grade two Jefferson Cup, mile and an eighth at Churchill, again, leading all the way, wired the field to take the open first stakes at Churchill, a track where he was virtually unbeatable, going a mile and a 16th. He also led all the way to win the Grade II American Derby, a mile and 3/16 at Arlington, and led from deep in the stretch to place in the Grade I Secretariat at Arlington over the classic distance of a mile and a quarter. Tiz Deja Vu covered an excellent group of quality mares in his first season of stud this year, stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Your inspection of the Crestwood stallions is invited while you're attending the sale. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Run that one more time.
All righty. We're talking to Steve Moody, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And I know you can buy that at the track. You can get him at Churchill Downs, Steve?
Yes.
Right, very good. Pick him up. All righty. Who do you like now in the Breeders' Cup Sprint?
Okay, now, well, the previous race is the Turf Sprint.
Okay.
It's race six, not the Dirt Sprint.
I turned my racing form back too fast. Go ahead.
Yeah. 5 furlongs on the turf, full field. Interesting thing here, Ursel, the defending champ, Chamberlain Bridge last year drew the rail and won the race, and now this year has gone from the rail to the 14. So you got both extremes for him, but this is a horse that certainly does his best. He loves the Churchill Downs turf course. Certainly would not be surprised to see him prevailing here. This is a historically, extremely tough race, big field, and it's so easy to get in trouble, and you just don't have much time to recover when you're talking about 5 furlongs. The horse I settled on, Ursel, was the 4-horse Perfect Officer. This is a horse that's really rebounded. Last year was winless, but has come back in a big way this year. He's got 3 wins and comes off of a couple of runner-up efforts. I think the 5 furlong distance helps him. He came up just a little bit short last time at Keeneland, which is when they run sprints there, it's 5.5. He cuts back to 5 today, which I think suits him. And I think if you could get a dream trip in here, I think this horse is sort of slated to get that kind of a trip. He's got tactical speed. He can sit just behind the leaders in here, sort of in that first flight. And so I expect him to have the lead late. And just the question is, can he hold it this time? Whereas he gave it up at Keeneland. This race with that only 5 furlongs maybe hits him just perfectly. I'm going to give him a slight edge. Regally Ready, who's the favorite, is 2-for-2 at Churchill Downs. He won the turf sprint on Derby Day, which is a grade 2 race, and he's probably the horse to beat. And then Chamberlain Bridge, of course, the defending champ from the far outside. He's always going to put in his usual big effort, but we're going to go for a little bit of a price, 12-1 on Perfect Officer, and try to get the upset. 4-8-14 in the turf sprint.
4-8-14. You're going with Perfect Officer. All right. Bred by by Justice Farmers, Greg and Steve Justice. Now we'll get back to the Breeders' Cup. Turf sprint. No, this is the Breeders' Cup sprint now.
Right. The fifth race is the sprint. relative short field by Breeders' Cup standards, only nine going this year. Big Drama, who won the race last year, comes back. He's the favorite. Kind of odd. You know, he's two for two this year. Ran just a monster race first time out of the blocks this year. Then was off until from January all the way until September, and came back and won against a you know, far less quality field. But his speed figure dropped about 20 points. So, you know, you just kind of wonder if he's still maybe not back to where he needs to be to win a race of this caliber. I mean, there's some top-notch sprinters in here that have been running, you know, every month to 6 weeks or so, and this horse has only started twice this year. So I think as a 5-2 favorite, he's a bet against for me. The horse that's going to take a lot of money is a Baffert horse, Euro Ears, that drew the rail. It's got had all kinds of trouble last time out. So you can throw the race at Belmont. You can just throw that completely out. He's worked like Baffert horses normally do. He's unbelievable works coming into the Breeders' Cup. They think that, you know, he's going to run a big race. But I kind of like the two horses that ran in the Vosburgh, Ursel, Giant Ryan, and Force Freeze. Force Freeze has come over here from Dubai and has run two huge races in the United States. Came up just a little bit short behind Giant Ryan last time, but I'm going to give him the nod to see if we can turn the tables today. I think he's got the ability to sit just off the leaders, take the lead, and you know, just have the wire come up at just the right time. Giant Ryan is having a huge year, I think 6 out of 8, if I remember right, that he's won this year. And he loves six furlongs. That is without a doubt his specialty. You got a couple of them in here that, like Jackson Bend, who's even though he's two for two at six furlongs, his best figures by far are at longer distances. I'm concerned that he will not be able to get up in time going six furlongs. If it was seven, I think he's clearly the horse to beat, but not at six. And the same thing goes for Aconite for me. I think he's more of a seven furlong horse. So I'm going to go for the two Vosburgh winners. I'm going to flip them around. Force Freeze on top, Giant Ryan second, Jackson Bend late running for third, 6, 2, and 5 in the sprint.
Okay, Steve, that brings us to, unless I'm skipping one, and I'm not, this would be the Juvenile Turf.
Juvenile Turf, full field, the one horse is scratched, 15, the 15 will run, and just about as wide open a race as you could possibly find. you got the Europe, a couple of... some Europeans in here, the 4 Farage, the 5 Rote, and the 7 horse Casper Netcher. Casper Netcher is probably the most accomplished, he is the most accomplished of the Euros. I'd certainly give him a big chance in here. Although I think this turf race might be the best chance for the U.S.-based horses. The two horses that I came with was both ran in the Bourbon Stakes out at Keeneland last time, and that's Lucky Chappie and Animal Spirits. Lucky Chappie finished full run in the Bourbon Stakes, but just really had too much to do. Ended up finishing third behind Animal Spirits. I think he may have needed that race. But I don't think he'll be quite as far behind in the early part of it today, so I'm going to, at a price, give him a chance to turn the tables. He's breaking from the 12 hole, and I think if he can just stay a little bit closer in the early part of it, I think he's got a big shot here. Majestic City is one that is coming off of a poly track race, but he's by City Zip, and you would think he'd be able to handle the turf. If he does, I think he's got a definitely has a shot in here. So we're going to go for the this is a wide open race, Ursel, so there's no use in taking a short price in a wide open race. I'm going to go for the 12, Lucky Chappie at 10-1 over Animal Spirits and Majestic City. That would be 12-10-8.
Okay. Well, that leaves the marathon, and I know you have to go to TVG to watch that one, but
this one is actually it's a pretty good race, sir. So you got a couple of years.
Oh, I love them.
Two or three Euros. You got Mizna, who is filly, and then you've got Brigantin and Harrison's Cave. So you got three Euros in here, and then you got the defending champion El Doffer, and then you also got AU Minor. Interesting that you got Burrell and Castellano drawn right next to each other after last year's big brouhaha after this race. And AU Minor is a horse, Ursel, that's really, of course, after the terrible trip that he had last year in this race, he's come back this year, and I think he's really steadily improved. Even though he doesn't have an official win, he's gotten better each time out. His second start, he actually finished first, but ended up getting disqualified. And then he came out of that race. That was the Greenwood Cup at up in Philadelphia at Parks, I think. And came out of that race and went in the Jockey Club Gold Cup and ran a pretty darn good race to flat out in there going a mile and a quarter. And, he likes the Churchill surface. And he showed last year, obviously, he can get the distance. That's not an issue. So I think that maybe he can make up for all the trouble that he had last year. And Burrell can get into the winner's circle, get his little bit of revenge. I'm going to give him the edge over the filly, Mizna. I think that she's facing top-quality competition in Europe. If she takes to the, there's no question she can get the distance. She can run all day. If she can handle the dirt, I give her a chance in here along with the other European Brigantine, and with Julian Leperoux. You got Andre Fabb, but he puts an American rider on board, which is probably a good thing. So we're gonna go 11-3-6 in the marathon.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you helping me out.
All right, Ursel. Have a good day.
Well, I'm sure you'll help me do that. If I bet my own selections, I'll have a lousy day. So thanks a lot, Steve. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and that's published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Thank you, Steve.
All right, Ursel.
Well, Invisor won the 2004 Breeders' Cup Classic over one of the best fields ever assembled for that race. In the beaten field with such superior runners as Champion Bernardini, Premium Tap, Classic winner Giacomo, Brother Derek, George Washington, Lava Man, Perfect Drift, Lawyer Run, Sun King, Flower Alley, That same year, Invasora won the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Pimlico Special, and the Grade 1 Suburban, on his way to earning Eclipse Awards for Champion, Older Horse, and Horse of the Year. The year before, he'd been acclaimed Horse of the Year in his native South America, and in his final year of competition, he won, in two starts, the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup and the Grade 1 Don Handicap. He was the number one ranked horse in the world at 4, rated number one in the world at the time of his retirement. Invasora earned $7,804,070. He was never defeated in North America or in his native South America. Nine of Invasora's first crop two-year-olds have won a place, including Midnight Vader, a colt that has won a maiden special and placed in two states. Watch for them, like their sire, to excel around two turns. Invasora stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All righty, Jackie, let you talk a little bit about my good friend Ralph.
All right, Ralph Quillen.
My good friend Ralph Quillen.
You better rest your voice. You sound a little...
What voice?
Yeah, it's about gone. We were sick as dogs this week. We were... First day I've been out at all.
The dog was healthy.
The dog made it.
Well, somebody had to take care of things.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't me. Oh, gee whiz. Quillen Leather and Tack, absolutely the best tack shop in Central Kentucky. Well, best shop anywhere as far as I'm concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, too.
And do, how many thousands of halters do they make? They have great leather work. 17,000 a year?
100,000 at least.
117,000
200,000. Do I hear three?
Three. Anyway, Ralph Quillen's got a...
I actually overheard somebody saying at Keeneland one time, I'm going to buy that horse just because I like the look of that hoe.
There you go. That'll do. And the sales are coming up. Said that right in time, didn't you? They also make their wonderful belts, and Ursula's got one, of course, leather belts that everybody in Central Kentucky wears.
Take up a notch today.
Yeah, oh, I know. Oh, we have had nothing to eat but yogurt for a week. Oh, my word. Anyway, and not much of that. It's been sad.
Acidophilus. Well, Dr. Byers can explain how that affects your intestinal system.
That's fine. Okay. Anyway, they've gotten, besides having wonderful leather halters, they have leather anything. They can make checkbook covers and wallets, and they even sell purses. They really got beautiful stuff. They can repair any tack. Take your tack in and show them what it is, and Wayne will take care of you. And they have a really good gift shop. Oh, and they're decorated now for Christmas. They got a lot of good Christmas presents. So you will see their halters out at the sale, the November sale. You will see them at Old Friends, on all the horses at Old Friends. And you can see them on the web at quillen.com, quillin.com. And let me give you their phone number in Paris. It's 987-0730. That's Quillen Leather and Tack.
Well, Sprightstown won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, sealing his bid as champion sprinter of 2004. Today is the sire, Jersey Town, is scheduled to go postward in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Well, Sprite City in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Country Day in the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. In addition, Mr. Commons, a colt from the first crop by Artie Schiller, is in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Drosselmeyer, winner of the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, will go postward in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Distorted Humor is sired the winners of all three of the Triple Crown races. Currently ranks 7th on the general sire list with 17 stakes winners when their earners are more than $6,960,000. Spitestown ranks 9th on the 2011 sire list with 12 stakes winners and their earners are more than $6,838,000. And Artie Schiller is the sire of 8 first crop stakes horses. All 8 have won a place in stakes this year. So to compete at the highest level, look to the Windstar Stallions. Inquiry to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com. And don't forget the open house, Monday the 7th through Saturday the 12th. Breakfast served from 8 to 11 a.m. through Wednesday. Now, that's an open house starting this coming Monday from 8 to 11 and through Wednesday. Now, you need a free breakfast at Windstar Farm.
Run, old Molly, run, old Molly.
Hello, fellas.
Happy Breeders' Cup Day, Ursel.
Yeah, happy Breeders, Michael Blowen and Dr. Doug Byers. How are you guys this morning?
Excellent.
We're good. Surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just barely am.
We're going to be auctioning off some of those quill and halters tomorrow at our party.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about your party.
Could you try that again? Can we get a little more enthusiasm with that question? Hey, let's talk about the party.
Honey, give me another shot of yogurt.
Anyway, we have our post-Breeders' Cup party tomorrow from 12 to 4. Jackson Knowlton, who owns Bunny Side and other horses with Sacatoga, is going to be our special guest of honor. And a singer named Lisa is going to come sing her song about Zenyatta. And we're going to have Dan Liebman's and Tommy Walters' barbecue.
Say hello to Dan.
I will. Well, why don't you come over and say hello yourself? We have beer. Sam Adams.
I couldn't stand a beer or a barbecue in the face right now.
Well, maybe by tomorrow it'll be a different story. It's free. That'll help him.
Fred's going to be there too, isn't he?
Yeah, Fred's going to be there.
Yeah, great.
Fred, the great artist. Fred, you know those fabulous paintings they have in Rodney's on the copper of Precisionist and Lava Man? Those are Fred's.
Oh.
Fred's our special guest. He's been here for a few days. He helps old friends an awful lot. He's a great artist.
Did he hustle you, Fred? I'm sure he did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, he said.
yeah, exactly right.
Everybody has to be hustled. Do you think somebody wants to be voluntary?
Well, so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's from 12 to 4. And I also like to thank a lot of the farms. You just did an ad for Windstar. They donated a Spicetown halter, and Lane's End donated an AP Indian. We got a whole bunch of wonderful stallion halters from Hillendale and some of the other farms. So it's going to be a great party. There's going to be some great auction items, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and everybody will be able to see all our residents, both old and new.
Okay. You got new?
Well, kind of. Yeah, we got you and I.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You and I is great.
Yeah.
So I ran into Baron Jones and Libby Jones at the track last week.
Did you tell him you had you and I there?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Libby was very excited. You could tell she really, really loved this horse. So Baron comes over and he goes, "You know what I'm going to do? I have two horses running at Churchill Downs, one in the Pocahontas and one in the Iroquois. And if either of them win, I'm donating 20% of their winning purse to old friends."
His old friend second.
So, I never wanted to shoot a jockey in my life. I did that day. Gabriel Saez got Mr. Bowling in more trouble than I've ever been in my life, altogether, if you've added it all
up. Who was the rider?
Gabriel Saez.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at the look on his face. Yeah. Ooh.
He cost old friends about 20 grand.
Yeah, the Calvin Burrell look.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So anyway, but that was nice of prayer, and it was nice of nice Libyan. You know, they're going to come over and see you and I when they get a chance.
That's good. Was that good filly sire? You, wasn't it? Isn't that what her name? Yeah.
So we have you and I's trophies from Bobby Frankel, and Bobby trained you. And so we have some of you's trophies, too.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that.
Hey, you and I, we could probably do a who's on first with that, couldn't we? We'll work on it for next week. It'll give some of you people really something to look forward to next Saturday.
Which, by the way, I make a special announcement. We're on early next Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those 8 to 10 days because it's going to be a real headliner.
People are still watching that football thing?
Headliner game. But between Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Wow.
You know, did you like their black uniforms?
I never saw a town that squeezed more news out of a loss in this town. We're printing a special Sunday section in the Herald Leader. It's 6 pages, big blue madness, we lost.
It's big black big black magnus. Now they're dressing in black. Of course, all the fans are wearing black armbands, you know.
I'm telling you,
that's terrible,
it's brutal.
It is.
I feel like I'm home in Boston with all these losing teams. But basketball season's coming, so don't worry.
Yeah. Well, they took care of Trancy real good the other day. I was kind of impressed with Trancy, though. Those kids came out and had fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the important thing, isn't it, Ursula?
Yeah, well, it is. And
really?
That's what I think. That's why I'm broke.
That was a big payday for Trancy, though. Hey, that was a nice thing to do.
Hey, I have a little handicapping thing to add to Steve Moody's. Don't forget, all the Europeans, a lot of them are first-time LASIKs.
I don't want to hear that.
I'm telling you, it's first-time LASIKs from Europe.
Olda Kova
came over. She went first-time LASIK. She won.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Doc?
Well, I don't know, because we don't know what they're doing. You know, if they bled over there and they're coming over here, then it's good thing. Good thing. But we don't know if they bled over there.
Well, they all come over with winning records.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if they bled over there, they run pretty good.
Yeah, right.
All right.
That's exactly right. Well, Marquetry, last week, Marquetry's doing really, really well. He came out of colic surgery very well, and every Dr. Sprayberry over there helped him out an awful lot, and Dr. Byers, of course, and Janet and Kent, they all, everybody teamed up and really helped his horse, and he was out grazing this morning. So.
That's great. In case people didn't know, Marquetry had an attack of colic.
Mm-hmm.
And
He's the third lipoma or fourth?
Fourth.
Fourth lipoma out there. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about lipomas on the show.
Yeah.
But it's a fat tumor, mm-hmm. and it somehow manages to develop on a stalk. So it hangs down from the belly wall up high.
Mm-hmm.
And if the intestine, it wraps itself around like
yeah.
a bolo, like an Argentine bolo thing, and just strangulates that bowel, just like a twisting knot.
So they just go in there and take it off?
Take it off if they get to it quick enough. Otherwise, yeah. The bowel begins to die very quickly and it get necrotic.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Well, and like I told Michael going into this now, if he needs a complicated surgery, a resection where they take two ends and put them back together, in a 23-year-old horse, you really don't know if you want to put them through that. But his was simple. They got in there quick enough and just untied it and snipped it off.
Yeah, Janet got over there so quickly. Janet Beiersdorfer, who helps us an awful lot, she runs the farm. She does a great job with Kent. And she was actually over there in the dark, and she didn't even change. She came over in her pajamas. That's one of the reasons we got to it so quickly. And then I called Andy Clark over at Haggis and told him, I said that Marquetry needed this. I left him a message. I said, Marquetry needs this surgery, but we can't afford it, but we can't afford not to do it either. Can you help me out? So, I'm glad I didn't have to talk to him. I'm glad I got to leave it as a message and then hang up quick. But then, I'll be done in 2 seconds here.
Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2.
And Andy called me back later, and he said, whatever you want to send us is fine. So I want to thank Haggis for that.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well,
yeah.
So are you going to send him?
I'm all done now.
Are you going to send him a token?
I won't talk anymore. What?
Send him a bill?
You know, I got to have you on my board.
I get to, yeah, right. Don't run off. I'm going to hang up. We got a way to go yet. Well, here's a date to remember. Friday, November 11th, 2011. 11-11-11. That's the date you're invited to Spendthrift Farm to inspect one of the most exciting runners of the year, the brilliant Tisway. The time, 8:30 in the morning, and breakfast will be served free. Did you hear that, Michael? Free breakfast. Tisway is his ears perked up just as soon
it's
as
it's a Will's heard. Way, you know. We have Will's Ways. We ate it a Will's Way.
Okay. Tisway is to stand his first season at stud next year at Spendthrift. Retires following victories in the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational, in which he soundly defeated Flat Out, winner of the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup and Grade 1 Metropolitan. Earlier, he had won the Grade 2 Kelso Handicap at Belmont. In the Metropolitan, a race long noted as a measuring stick for sire success, Tis now blazed a mile in 1:32.4. After the Whitney, the Blood Horse wrote, put his name right at the top for Horse of the Year. In the Metropolitan, he missed the stakes record by just 1/100th of a second. And again, quoting the Blood Horse, Tisway pulled away from the field with a powerful and sustained acceleration. That after he'd taken the lead sprinting the first 6 furlongs in 1:08.3. Tisway is by Hall of Famer. Tis now, out of a multiple graded producer and half sister to 2 Grade 1 stakes winners. Superb Grade 1 pedigree. Remember the date, Friday, November 11, 8:30 a.m. at Spendthrift Farm. For more information about the Spendthrift stallions, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee. And the number over there is 294-0030. Well, I guess you all saw Royal Delta win.
Yes, very impressive.
Yeah, she won. Very, very impressive. And our good friend Ron Wallace was on TV. Did you see Ron? And he got the trophy. They handed him.
So great.
Yeah.
That is so
I thought
great.
He was going to tear up when they said, you know, he made a remark about no more horses in the fields because this filly's being sold.
Yeah. She is. Doug's going to buy him. It was supposed to be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise if he does. I'll tell you who'll be surprised. It'll be Susan.
Susan's already talking about bidding on her 2 days after she sold.
You're right. Well, anyway, this filly, what is her hip number? 427, selling in the consignment to Santa Clara Farm. And, of course, our good friend Ron Wallace is handling that sale, managed that farm, helped put the farm together, managed the farm, and is handling the dispersal. And more information about the dispersal, they sell in November the 7th through the 17th, incidentally. Just call Ron. It says here at 873-7400.
That's the office number.
That's the office
number.
The
cell number is 621-1655.
Boy, you know that one right well, don't you?
Well, I need advice all the time. Where do you think I come up with these topics?
Well, you. Well, I tell you, Ron could give you advice. He's given advice to a lot of good people in the horse business. And his main business is equine farm management, which he formed back in 1995. And I'll get it straight.
Some people can remember numbers.
I've been sick.
Some people can remember.
But anyway, Ron is one of the most experienced guys around, and what his business does, it helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. But give him a call. Talk to him about the dispersal, about his business, equine farm management, or log on to his website, equinefarmmanagement.com. That's Ron Wallace, and that number again is given to you by Doug over here, 621-1655. Very good, Doug.
Yeah.
The American Produce Record, CD-ROM, is now in stock at Frisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
All righty. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you there, Michael.
Oh, yeah. I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. Well, it was great yesterday. I got to go over to Churchill Downs with my friend Fred and his wife, Diane, and some other people. We had a great time at the races yesterday.
That's great.
They had a big party for his Zenyatta. In fact, John Sheris and Mike Smith, Dottie and Gordo Sheris, and Jerry Nan Ma signed a poster we're going to auction off tomorrow at the party.
Was Blame invited?
Blame finished second yesterday. Yeah, it was amazing how many people signed up for this party, and they showed her races, and it was just really, really a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet it was. Well, her races were a lot of fun to watch.
True. You know, I was thinking about this when I was watching all those races, her coming from behind. You know, so many tracks in the United States now are speed favoring, so she not only had to run against all the horses, she had to run against the bias of most of the racetracks in the country coming from dead last all the time, so... Her accomplishments just grow with the years, just like, you know, Davy Crockett's.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell about that horse that you used to have.
Okay.
Here's a good story.
I was watching TVG the other day, and Frank Miramonte was on there, and he was talking about the greatest photo finish he ever seen in his life. And it was a race at the Massachusetts Fairs, I think it was Great Barrington, between a disc jockey and an old claiming horse. And the disc jockey had a huge lead, and the horse closed big time. And at the last minute, the disc jockey leaped into the air and won a photo by about a quarter of an inch. And it took him like 10 minutes to process the photo, to declare the winner. And then the photo, of course, went all over the world because it looked so goofy. So I emailed Frank at TVG, and I said, Frank, this is Michael Blown at Old Friends. We now have these great horses. But I said, years ago I had a horse named Keno Quick who finished second to that stupid disc jockey. And I still think that photo was wrong. I think, like everything else, it was at the fairs, it was a little crooked. So anyway... So he couldn't remember the name of the horse, and I said the name of the horse is Keno Quick, and we got him up at the track when he was deserted and left in a stall, and he was a mess, of course, and it took us about 8 months to get him going again. But he was the first horse I ever had who won a race, and he paid $23.
Yeah, but the disc jockey wasn't in that day, huh?
No, the disc jockey wasn't in that day. Of course, he also didn't point out that the disc jockey, the horse had to run 80 yards, and the disc jockey ran 40 yards.
Oh,
And also, the horse had to be ridden by Frankie Catrone, one of the worst jockeys in the history of the world. He dwelt in the gate. I'm telling you, if he had had a better rider, the disc jockey could have been done a better job riding that horse. Disc jockey would have been much better. So, anyway, it gets better. I'm not done yet. Hold on a second. This will just take a minute, then I'm going to leave. But this the story gets better. So, yesterday, I'm at the track.
I'm just going to wait and come early next Saturday.
Yesterday, I'm at the track, and I see a friend of mine who used to work over the gate at Rockingham. And he's working the gate up at Churchill Downs. And I start talking to him. I go, do you know where Mark is? And Mark's wife adopted Keno Quick, my horse, years ago. And I wanted to know how Keno Quick, and I tell him the same story. So he goes, oh, yeah, Mark's right over there. So Mark comes over. I said, how's Keno going? He points him out. He goes, he's right over there. He's a pony at Churchill Downs leading these Breeders' Cup horses into the gate.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, where's the disc jockey?
I think the disc jockey's career went in a better direction. I think he actually works for ESPN now. His name is Bill Likas.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think he moved up the ladder just as Keno was moving down, but that's the way life is.
Yeah, but he didn't pay.
But isn't that a great story? Here we are on Breeders' Cup Day in the sunshine. There's old Keno Quick. Going, holy mackerel. 1 for 15 lifetime, and that was a $2,000 claimer at the Great Barrington Fair. And he was all out to do that.
Oh, my goodness. All right, now, if you're through, I'm going to take a
break. I apologize.
All right. Well, Vinery is an outstanding consignment to Keener's November breeding stock sale. Go to Barn 36 to find weanlings by Taylor the Cat and Sky Mesa, both out of stakes winning mares, plus 9 young well-bred mares and foal to Henry the Navigator. 2 and fold Unbridled Song, 2 to Congrats, mares and fold also to Sky Mason, Fusi Ichi Pegasus, Storm Atlantic, a Fleet Alex, included or half sister to a winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, a graded stakes daughter of Distorted Humor, 5 superior black type earners, all young, all in fold. They sell Thursday, November 10. Look them over, Barn 36, check their condition, and remember that the folks at Vinery in Kentucky, in New York, and in Florida stand ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry, including sales prep and sales. While in Kentucky, visit the farm. Just call 455-9388. Ask for John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Relihan, Grant Williamson, or Director of Sales, Derek McKenzie. And see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, good luck today to Uncle Mo in the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Uncle Mo is looking for his second Breeders' Cup trophy. Of course, he won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year to garner the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old colt. A win today over older horses would virtually assure his second Eclipse Award, and it would be the 5th Eclipse Award earned by the progeny of Indian Charlie. He sired a champion 2-year-old colt, a champion 2-year-old filly, a champion sprinter, and a champion older mare. The Indian Charlies win at 2, they win at 3, they win as older horses, and they win with class. So what more can you ask of a sire? Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears running both eyes, thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies. This feeling's about
All right, Arthur, you can turn it down now. All right, that's Arthur Hancock singing, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, we have an Indian Charlie halter donated by Brereton Jones at our auction tomorrow at the silent auction.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well,
just want to throw that in too. It's 12 to 4 at the farm, and come and have a good time.
Dr. Cavia probably coming by it.
Yeah,
he should.
Yeah, yeah. He should. Yeah, right. He can afford it.
Mike, get out there and buy it.
Yeah. I tell you what, he's always been, right from the beginning, one of my favorite studs. I watched him doing that race results show every night like I used to do, and I look up all the winners, and you'd see these things, and they were winning and winning and winning. I said, boy, this horse is going to make it.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, so.
He's doing great. He looks beautiful, too.
There's a couple of horses like that around right now. And if somebody agrees my palm, I'll tell you who they were. Hey, Doc?
I don't have any money, so I can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. He's saving all his to buy Royal Delta.
Yep.
If I'd shut Michael up now, I'm going to get Dr. Byers on. We'll get serious with Doug here. What are we talking about today, Doug?
Well, I was going to talk about bone problems. And but first, I was just telling Michael when we were whispering to each other, he had a group of kids out to the farm, and these are kind of misfit kids, and so he had me come down and talk to them, and I always grab the stethoscope so they can figure something out. So we get Marquetry in the stall. I'm checking him out, listen to his heart, and of course he's got atrial fibrillation, which we've talked about before, but you guys probably don't remember. But anyway, he doesn't go ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-boom, ba-boom. He goes ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. He's got no rhythm.
Is that right?
No rhythm. So when he went to his colic surgery, they had to pay attention to that, make sure he didn't have a problem. And, of course, the atrium is compatible with life because it's the filling phase of the heart.
What if he had that all his life?
No.
Okay.
He's probably developed it.
I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I was talking to Mike Smith yesterday, and he rode Mark Trina's last race. He finished second.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Smith says, you know, I saved that horse's life because he had such a hemorrhage. I stopped on him. He said he hemorrhaged really badly.
We keep going deja vu here, but I say you can draw a straight line in young horses that bleed out the nose.
Mm-hmm.
First thing you want to do is listen to their heart. You can draw a straight line from atrial fibrillation to bleeders.
Hmm.
They will do it. Now, Marquetry didn't have that because their performance would be impaired.
Yeah.
It's not life-threatening, but their performance is impaired.
His wasn't.
No. So going back to this kid, I was having each one of them listen to that, tell them now the rhythm is off. So the kids would come up there, and I'd say, put your hand on the shoulder first so he knows where you're at, and then put the stethoscope here, and I would hold it for him. Well, all the kids did pretty well, but this one kid was absolutely petrified. He was terrified. He wouldn't step up. He wouldn't put his hand on his shoulder. He would let me take the stethoscope and put it behind there where he could listen. And once he listened, you know, he kind of tuned in on that, but he still couldn't wait to get out of that stall. He was absolutely terrified. So then after a while, Michael asked me to go out and talk about Clever Alamont. So all the kids are on the other side of the fence. This kid is the first one to walk right up like he thought it all or processed it all, went straight to that horse's head and started petting on him.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yes, amazing. They're amazing kids. They really are amazing kids. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of students that come out to the farm, and these are students that don't fit into the right normal system, and it's really interesting. And one of the things that's very apparent is that if you pay a little attention to them, because most of these kids are completely ignored by everybody. You know, nobody asks them what their opinion is. Nobody, you know, really cares about them. They don't get the kind of support that you would anticipate them getting as you know, kids growing up. And, you know, a lot of them come, they don't have any parents, or the parents really are interested in more things than their kids. So, there's a lot of things going on, and if you pay just a little bit of attention to them, sometimes the turnaround's unbelievable.
Well, I think you said the kids are amazing, but I think the horses are amazing. That's the whole basis to the riding for the handicap and everything else. The horses are big.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that you have control, your self-esteem is what really grows. The horses distribute that very well. Anyway, we're going to talk about bones. And So my sister-in-law, Carrie Askew, and her husband, Pat, they're out visiting from California. Susan and all them are on their way up to the Breeders' Cup races. I'm here with you. So, but anyway.
Hey, I don't like the way you said that.
We're going to Keeneland.
Yeah.
Doc, let me interrupt you.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about all moments, all right?
Okay.
We talk right into another segment here.
Okay.
Well, Blame, winner of the 2010 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, is to stand his second season stud next year at Claiborne, of course. Covered an exceptionally fine book of quality mares in his first season. And his 2012 stud fee is going to stay at $35,000. Due on the foal stands and nurses. The Breeders' Cup Classic was one of three Grade 1 stakes won by Blame last year on his way to an Eclipse Award. He also won a Grade 1 Whitney. The Grade 1 Stephen Foster retired with earnings of over $4,368,000. In stakes last weekend, the Jersey Juvenile at Monmouth Park was won by Della Bernsky, a two-year-old son of Flatter. Della Bernsky is the 18th 2011 stakes horse by Flatter, a list which includes Grade 1 stakes winner Flat Out, who goes to the post today in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and a Grade 2 stakes winner Tar Heel Mom. Flatter is to stand the 2012 season for $10,000, doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
In 2008, Raven's Pass ran a mile and a quarter in 1:59.1 to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, missing the stakes record by just 1/5 of a second. Henry the Navigator defeated Raven's Pass three times in Group 1 stakes, in the Classic 2000 Guineas, the St. James's Palace Stakes, and in the Sussex. Henry the Navigator ran in record time to win the Group 1 St. James's Palace Stakes, and he also twice met and defeated European champion New Approach. He won the Group 2 Coventry Stakes as a two-year-old, and the Group 1 Irish 2000 Guineas. And in his lone start in the USA and his only start on artificial, he was second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Retired with earnings of over $2,766,000. Henry the Navigator was a better two-year-old and a better three-year-old than his sire, King Mambo, and he's out of the champion race mare Sequoia by Sadler's Wells. First crop yearlings have sold for $625,000, $435,000, $300,000, $270,000, and $245,000. This year, Andy stands at Kumho's Ashford Stud, home also of the nation's number one sire on the general sire list, Giant's Causeway, number one sire on the juvenile sire list, Scat Daddy. For more information about the Ashford Stud Stallion, see the website at coolmore.com or call the farm at 873-7088. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Run that body one more time.
All righty. Now, Doc, we can roll.
Okay. All right. Well, we were going to talk about some bone issues or problems. And I mentioned my sister-in-law, Carrie Askew, and her husband, Pat, are out for the Breeders' Cup with my wife. Noticing also that I'm not in that roster of people going. Yeah. So anyway, Carrie, my sister-in-law, owns a practice.
You heard Jackie said?
What?
She said you got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. Is that a dotted line? Once in a while I could squeak through. Yeah. Anyway, my sister-in-law owns a veterinary practice in California. And so they do large animal, and one of the large animal veterinarians is Coral Armstrong, Dr. Armstrong. And they noticed several years ago, 15, 20 years ago, that in her practice area, there were a lot of horses that just would wind up with broken legs. and they would, they're mostly would break their scapulas, their shoulders, and some of the larger bones. And then the horses also would walk very stiff, and they had a lot of problems. Well, my sister-in-law's practice is in Salinas Valley, but the next valley over is Carmel. And in this Carmel region where they also practice, there is a silica, or would be glass, binding agent in those soils. Mm. So these horses would develop osteoporosis, which means you lose bone, yeah. Right? Just like women and men worry about where an imbalance. So this stuff causes this imbalance, and it's being studied as a model for human osteoporosis. Mm. So the horses kind of leaped into the research profile there. And this is what we call NIH, or National Institute of Health, quality things that are being looked at. So they're working with Stanford University on it. And it's a marker. It's something that they want to understand. So how do you get osteoporosis, or how do you get osteopetrosis, which is too much bone? And we have a lot of other things in the developmental process. We all know that from the OCDs that we get in foals. Well, in big, fast-growing dogs like Great Danes, they get panosteitis. They get bone pain, and they get changes in their periosteum, things like that. So when we think about bone, the membrane is the periosteum. So when we buck shins, we inflame that membrane and the bone beneath it so it enlarges. Then beneath that periosteum is the cortex of the bone, the outer thickened part. And then you have the medulla in the middle, which is where the bone marrow is and all that material. So bone is really related to calcium phosphorus. That's where we get all the accolades for limestone soils here, balancing the bone. And that may or may not be totally true, but it really becomes dietary. So calcium and phosphorus ratios are regulated in our bodies by two hormones. Parathormone, which comes from the parathyroid gland, goes out and says, I need more calcium in my circulation. So it sucks it out of the bone. Okay? So if you had too much parathyroid activity, you develop osteoporosis, or too little bone, because that's where it builds that. So if you can take an example of it, I'll give you a quiz question, Ursel.
Uh-oh.
Brand disease. You remember brand disease?
Brand disease.
Brand disease.
B-R-A-N-D.
Big Head, called Big Head, brand of Z, B-R-A-N.
No, I don't.
It was when they used to feed the carriage horses bran.
How old do you think I am, Doc?
Well,
he had a 1902 Percheron.
Right. Actually, I'm old enough to have seen it, and it still occurs, and what happens is, bran is high in phosphorus, but low in calcium. Mm-hmm. So when these carriage horses got fed their rations through those muzzles, it was all bran to keep their bowels soft.
Okay.
You know, so then slowly these horses would deform their head because the bone in the head, your sinuses, are soft. Mm-hmm. So they would deform to the point that they couldn't breathe well. And so then they would be looked at for bran disease, and that they put them on calcium or limestone, whatever they could to correct that, and they would slowly get better. They also had a shifting leg lameness, which the horses in the California Carmel Valley also have, where they have bone pain. So they constantly kind of dance. They just can't find a comfortable position. So that's another sign of the osteoporosis that they would develop. Now, osteopetrosis is too much bone. And we have diseases in horses that cause that, and also occurs in people. And that's a hypertrophic pulmonary osteoarthropathies. And when you say arthropathy, that means that's into the joint and the cartilage as well, so they're painful. And so you can get some form of stimulation, and they don't know the mechanism for it, but you start to develop too much calcium in your bone, and your bones enlarge. And there was a horse here, Sassafras, who had HPO, pulmonary osteoarthropathy.
He was an imported horse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stayer.
Yeah. Pardon me?
He was a stayer. Yeah. Cup horse. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, maybe I got, got his, no, it was Sassafras, I think. Mm-hmm. That he beat, didn't he beat Nijinsky?
Abroad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it was after. So he got HPO, and we removed the inciting cause, and it went away. So he was fine. You got to find the inciting cause, but they get enlarged bones down mostly in their fetlocks, and when you X-ray them, you see this tremendous deposit of bone there. But they get the arthropathy with it, so they're painful, and so they have to get rid of the inciting cause. And they call it pulmonary osteoarthropathy because most of the lung abscesses and lung tumors in people is where they would get it, but now they know there's other inciting or triggering mechanisms that cause that as well. So, again, the key to that one is to find out what triggers it, get rid of the trigger. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go back and remodel their bones and be comfortable, which is what Sassafras did.
Yeah.
So, he had a granuloma in his
stomach. You saw him over here. He was over here.
Well, he was here, yeah.
Right.
He had a granuloma or a kind of a fake tumor in his stomach that Dr. Thorpe removed.
Oh, okay.
And then the horse got fine.
Who stood that horse?
He was over here at DuPont.
Oh, okay. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Right across from the... Right. Well, that was when he was in with the stallion station over there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all know bone development, like epiphysitis. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But when the bone finally matures, it ossifies and sets itself up like it's supposed to set itself up. But we have a lot of... I'm always not cussing, but I'm always concerned about supplements. So when we get a lot of calcium phosphorus supplements, they better be legitimate, yeah, or you can throw these things out of balance. And that's the important thing, because you have the calcitonin, which is the hormone that puts calcium in bone. So if you have too much calcitonin, you create a problem, kind of like the osteopetrosis or the laying down too much bone, and the opposite is too much parathormone, which pulls the calcium out of the bone, and it's got to be the same ratio in Kittler's. You know, so if you pull a blood sample and you say, well, his calcium phosphorus ratio looks okay, that's because those hormones are working. You don't really know what the bone looks like.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
All right.
Yeah. You know, I always heard that if you overfeed alfalfa,
mm-hmm,
to young horses, it causes some bone problems too.
Well, alfalfa has been very controversial. Dr. Swarzyk here has always been very critical of too much alfalfa because the calcium in there is too much now. They can usually handle it. It's not a problem. But if you go to California, you'll have an inordinate amount of stones, bile stones, kidney stones, stone development. So there is, I know a lot of those horses are on alfalfa hay. The other thing about the disclaimer would be magnesium, because they have hard water in California, so they get that part of it anyway. But anyway, Dr. Armstrong has shown a lot of those horses that hopefully we'll get to study them and because of the human stuff, and we'll learn about what's going on in horses.
Somebody did a study 15 years ago at least about too much calcium, and then the body works real hard to get rid of the excess calcium, and spots would develop in the bone where they were more like cartilage than it was bone, because they got rid of too much calcium. Well, do you remember that?
Well, actually, some of that came out of some legal issues that were going on, but if you give a horse too much vitamin D causes or allows for the absorption of calcium from the diet to go into the circulation and be deposited. If you give too much vitamin D, then you get hypervitaminosis and hypercalcemia in the blood. And they do show it in their bloodstream, but then they start to get calcium deposits in their muscles, all through their bodies, their kidneys, their liver, things like that. So that high calcium. Now, another form of high calcium that will develop similar to that is called pseudo. We said hyperparathyroid, but pseudo-hyperparathyroid means false thyroid issues or parathyroid issues, and some tumors do that. So if you get they secrete a substance that that mimics the parathormone. So that's another form of hypercalcemia. So diet and tumors, and then the last one is the kidneys regulate some of the parathormone activity. So if you have kidney disease, you'll have chronic hypercalcemia. So let's suppose we pull a blood sample on a horse, and usually these are older horses, not young horses. And we see, we expect the calcium to be somewhere between 10 and maybe 12. And we got a 16. So that's a flag that goes up right away for these conditions.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Doc. Thanks. Appreciate it very much. Thank you guys for coming
in. Thank you, Russell, as always. Have a good Breeders' Cup Day, everybody.
Remind us about the party again.
Party's tomorrow at from 12 to 4, so you can get over there before the sale. We have a barbecue from Dan Liebman and Tommy Walters. We've got all kinds of great things to drink. We got great entertainment with Roger and Lisa, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You get to, most importantly, you get to see all the new horses and have a ball.
Sounds like a winner.
Thank you, Ursel.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, Mill Ridge Farm consigned two yearlings by Miz and Mass to the recent Phasing Tipton Fall Yearling Sale. Colt sold for $60,000, filly for $65,000. Well, maybe the bidders had seen Ultimate Eagle win the Grade II $150,000 Oak Tree Derby at Santa Anita on October 15th. Or maybe they saw Miz Direction's gain performance in the Grade II Lexus Raven Run Stakes at Keeneland on October 22, a race in which she was beaten less than a length after a rough trip. Of course, she'd already won the $90,000 Sandy Blue Stakes at Del Mar, and had run second in the Grade II San Clemente, and also in the Manhattan Beach Stakes at Hollywood Park. Ultimate Eagle and Miz Direction are typical Miz and Mass, game, versatile, and classy. Miz and Mass, a proven sire of Grade I Stakes winner, stands at Judmont Farm, home of the brilliantly fast Grade I Stakes winner First Defense. Bond Bridal Song out of Grade I Stakes winner Honest Lady, a daughter of Seattle Slough and Grade I Stakes winner, and Broodmare of the Year, Tussaud. Inquiries to Gerald O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
Okay. Oh, I noticed our friend Tom Biederman of Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers has that property on Paris Pike at Ferguson, Ursel, that really gorgeous piece of land.
Right on the corner.
Right on the corner, there's frontage on.
Oh, that's a gorgeous piece of land.
Yeah, it goes back in there. It's got water. It's rolling. And whoever developed it from whatever it was, I've seen cattle on there. Really did a good job. They leveled out areas and got the brush up and got the scrub stuff up. And it is gorgeous. That's an absolutely beautiful piece. That's choice piece property.
What an address, too, right on Paris Pike.
Right on Paris Pike.
Or Lexington Road.
And you've got on the other side, the town side, a cemetery, so you don't have to worry about somebody sticking up a cheap housing development on you, I wouldn't think. And it's very quiet at night. But it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's prime property, boy. Yeah.
I don't know how many acres it is. I would guess somewhere around 100, wouldn't you?
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
It's beauty. It's an absolutely gorgeous place. And, of course, now they're right down the road from us. He's got a place down the road from us and up the road from us. These are on Clay Kaiser. Let's see. And that really nice place at Elizabeth Station, 730 Elizabeth Station. That's 50 acres, turnkey horse farm, and it's got a real road on it. That's the one. It's off 460. 460 runs from Paris to Lexington, and this is closer to Paris. And Elizabeth Station runs down to Greenwich, turns into Greenwich, and it's a beauty. It's perfectly suited for sales prep, breaking, training, or layups. It's right next door to Dr.
Now, Tom gets, to Dave Parrish's place.
Dave Parrish is on one side, and Dr. Slovis is on the other. And if that's not good neighbors, that's a beautiful place, too. So go to their website. The website's a trip. It's just looking for one beautiful place after another. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com. That's BiederMan Brokerage.com. Or give them a call, 277 2030.
I want to talk about another good neighbor. That's Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. He's right there on 460 with, of course, his wonderful farmer, Knott Griffin Farm. Of course, he's got another place called Harper's Island. It isn't too far away, but Knott Griffin is the one he's had since 1994. That's a spell, and that's about over 17 years now. Jim's had that place. And of course, Jim came over from Ireland with next to nothing, and now he's a big property owner here. Because,
oh, he's a master of the hounds.
Well, he's very successful.
Yes, and he's a great guy.
Yeah, yes, he really is. He's a real good neighbor. But more important to you all, these people out there, he's got great facilities for boarding, sales prep or public or private sales, doesn't make any difference, rehabilitation, got great help, and more important, he can just give you good, sound, common sense advice if you're getting into the business or you're in the business and not doing too well. I would suggest you call Jim. It's Knott Griffin Farm, 987-8032. They had a great Keeneland September sales anyway. Sold some top price yearlings out there, and because they look good when they walk in the ring, boy, they look, man, they are finished.
Yeah.
They look good. So let me give you his phone number. This is Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm at knockgriffinfarm.com, and his phone number is 987-8032.
Welcome.
Do I, dear?
Should I talk? That seems to help. Okay. It's time for our announcements.
Yes, ma'am.
I have plenty of announcements. I guess I can lead off with the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association has us read every week the names of graded stakes winners. And you said you had
stakes winners, period.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I've got the charts of somewhere down here, yesterday's Breeders' Cup races.
Yeah, I see them. And I wrote down those two graded stakes that ran before the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, aren't you on the ball?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's funny how clearly you think after you live off yogurt for a week.
Who's living?
Right.
All right. Last weekend now, the Grade 2 Pocahontas at Churchill on 5 Baby was bred in Kentucky by Anita Cawley. The winner of the Grade 2 Fayette Stakes at Keeneland, Wise Dan, was bred by Mort Fink in Kentucky. The Grade 3 Iroquois Stakes at Churchill Downs winner, Motor City, was bred by Susie Shoemaker over at her farm, Lantern Hill Farm. The Royal Glen Stakes at Hawthorne winner, No Spin, bred by Waterville Lake Stables. The Real Prize Stakes at Belmont winner, R. Gypsy Gold, bred by E. Paul Robsham. Yesterday, the Grade 3 Ack-Ack, down at Churchill, Mr. Mardi Gras, was bred by Loafenbach Stables, and the Turnback the Alarm Stakes, Grade 3, where was that?
Aqueduct.
Yeah, that was at Aqueduct. Northwest Farms bred that one. Very good, dear. And let's see what else we've got here. The Sentient Jet Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint winner, let's see where he was bred. Yeah, that would be Secret Circle. And that's an Eddington colt, of course, Eddington over at Claiborne Farm, son of Unbridled. Nice racehorse, too. Bred by the Wilmot Stables. The Stephanie's Kitten won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf Grade 2 at Churchill Downs, and bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Old Ken lit up the winner's circle, didn't he?
Though? That was fun. He really got into it. Yeah. I like to see people that enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Ken's all right. He is all right. Let's see. My Miss Aurelia Stake, winner of the Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Grade 1, My Miss Aurelia, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. That's another Kentucky bred. The Emirates Airline Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf Grade 1 winner, Perfect Sherrill, was bred by Charles Fipke. And let's see what else we have. Okay, of course, the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic, Grade 1, Royal Delta, who goes in the sale out of Keeneland. And that in the Chanticleer dispersal was bred by Paladese Investments. And that's it.
Yeah, that's a shame that the guy that owned that place died, Shake. He just had one name. I've forgotten his name,
but
that's why there's... That's why they're selling it. That's too bad. So, I'm sure our friend...
Prince Saul bin Khalid.
Yeah, Prince Khalid, they call him.
Prince Khalid. And that's very good. And our friend Ron Wallace is in charge of that.
Yeah, I pretty much think that he was... Ron Wallace is the guy that did all the breeding and stuff, because he was talking about how they loved the family of that horse.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much his doings.
All righty.
Okay, I'm going to... You know, the Kemi offices have been moved to the Kentucky Horse Park. They're in the same building as the KTA, KTOB. So... They want you to know the mailing address and phone numbers are the same. Leslie Janica sent it.
Okay. So, they're with David Schweitzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they moved in November 1st.
Same
so
building,
Same address, though. She has a P.O. box, and their phone's the same for anybody who wants to get a hold of them.
All right.
Now, this weekend, of course, like I said, we've been sicker than dogs, but yesterday we piled up and watched the Breeders' Cup on television and watched the National Horse Show out at the horse park, sitting there on my computer. Now, if you're interested, how that computer business works is you can go to, somebody said the Horse Channel, or just place horsechannel.com, but I went to alltech.com, and you can click on broadcast or what's being broadcasted. So if you can log on to that, it's live, and it's just right there on your computer. It's a good feed, and enjoyed it thoroughly, although I have to tell you, yesterday was Hunter Day, or a lot of Hunter preliminary jumping, and although they gave away a lot of money, $7,500 for these classes. But they've got fake tails now on these hunters.
Oh, that's... I don't like it.
I don't like that either.
They're so beautiful anyway. What do you want to fake them up for?
Right. Well, and the point that you breed hunters' tails back so far, everything to do with hunting has to do with practicality. You don't... You go out and hunt enough, and you're going to get so many briars and go through so many bushes and things that the horse is going to wind up with no tail. So, to save their tails, you braid them. You braid them about what? Does that look like about 12 inches, something like that? I don't know, but you braid up their tail, and it saves the tail from being ruined. Well, now they're braiding them up, and they've got these god-awful 3- and 4-foot-long bushes hanging off their tails. Anyway, I'm too old to change. I think that's nasty. So, there you are. My little complaint. Although, let's see.
Don't like white bridles either.
No plastic, please, leather. Okay, and the Alltech show goes through tomorrow. That's the Alltech National Horse Show, big deal, and it's a success. They had 400 people show up for the black tie opening reception. Everybody got dressed up. Yeah, it's getting a lot of support in town. So it's the guy said that runs it. It's this guy named Phelps, I think. We need to have him in here sometime. He must run horse shows all over the country because he runs the big shows here at the horse park. And they just about gave up on the national. And he said in an interview, he said, we're through. There's just one last shot that we've got to saving the oldest national horse show, indoor show in the United States. And he said, let's try the horse park. And I think they saved it. So it's such a great old thing, and it's got so much tradition. If you go to Joseph Beth, there's a book out there called Snowman, the $80 Champion. And it's a story about a horse, a guy got off the killer truck in the 50s that won the national several times. And it's got a lot of good background on the National Horse Show in it. So it's good. It's a really, really good book. Now, let's see. Also, today is the North American Challenge Cup Mounted Games at the Horse Park. And the United States Equestrian Federation's having an open forum for jumping. Next week is History Heritage Days and the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemen International Conference and Annual Meeting. Whew. Also, November 11th, Mid-South Pony Club Clinic and Snowbird Dressage is the 12th. Things are... Oh, you know what's coming up soon makes you feel like winter. I'm here to tell you, Southern Lights, November 18th. That's less than 2 weeks away. Southern Lights opens. I know. Rusty's making a face. That's Christmas and winter for sure. So, oh, and when you go to the horse park, they have a new bit and bridle restaurant at the farmhouse. They can also cater horse shows and meetings and stuff. Call Mary Callahan, 259-4212 for more information.
Well, Invisor won the 2004 Breeders' Cup Classic over one of the best fields ever assembled for that race. In the beaten field with such top runners as champion three-year-old Bernardini, Premium Tap, Classic winner Giacomo, Brother Derek, George Washington, Lava Man, Perfect Drift, Laurie Oran, Sun King, Flower Alley. That same year, Invisor won the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Pimlico Special, and the Grade 1 Suburban, on his way to earning Eclipse Awards for Champion Horse of the Year and Champion Older Horse. The year before, he'd been acclaimed Horse of the Year in his native South America, and in his final year of competition, he won in two starts, the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup and the Grade 1 Don Handicap. He was the number one ranked horse in the world at 4. He was the number one ranked horse in the world at the time of his retirement, and he earned over $7,804,000. Never defeated in North America, never defeated in South America. 9 of Invisor's first crop two-year-olds have won a place, including Midnight Vader, a colt that won a maiden special and its place in two stakes. Watch for them, like their sire, to excel around two turns. Invisor stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, see the website, shadwellfarm.com. Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine is located at the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown Road. And that's an elective surgery facility, outpatient medicine they practice. You call up, you make an tell them what's wrong. You bring your horse in, they take care of you, and they send you home. And better than that, before you bring it in, they tell you how much it's going to cost, and there's no surprises when the bill arrives.
Amen.
And there can be some surprises, believe me. Anyway, but not with Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And that's Dr. Bill Bernard, who opened his facility after 17 years with Rudin Riedel. And, of course, highly respected. He heads the Outpatient Medicine Division. Dr. Wes Sutton, board-certified surgeon, completed his surgery residency at Ohio State. He was down at Ocala Equine Hospital for a number of years and then became affiliated also with Rudin Riedel. That's where he met Bill Bernard. And he also met Dr. Lori Bidwell, who moved with him at the time. She is a board-certified anesthesiologist, formerly with Rudin Riedel. So call for an appointment, in and out. Cost in advance, no add-ons, no surprises. When you get the bill. And the goal over there is to provide great service at a reasonable price. Once again, that's Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. The number there is 967-0770. They're on the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown. Well, 'tis now the big horse sire, the sire of 8 Grade 1 stakes winners plus another 8 that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. Listed among his 2011 stakes winners are Tisway, winner of the Grade 1 Metropolitan Handicap in which he ran a mile and won 32 and 4. And also the winner of the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational. And Morning Line, winner of the Grade 1 Carter Handicap. Big horses, Tisway's earned over $1,358,000. Morning Line, over $1,122,000. Tisway stands at Windstar Farm, home also of another one of his big horses, Colonel John. Colonel John won the Grade 1 Travers, and he won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, earned over $1,779,000. He also won stakes as a two-year-old, sprinted a mile and won 32 and 3 to win stakes at 4. He won on dirt, grass, synthetic surfaces at distances from 7 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. The first foals by Colonel John arrived this year. Look for his first crop weanlings at the upcoming sales. For more info about Hall of Famer Tisway and his millionaire son, Colonel John, call Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. And don't forget, the open house, Monday the 7th through Saturday the 12th. Breakfast served from 8 till 11 a.m. through Wednesday. And
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Here's where we're going Thursday, just in case you have any other plans. You can cancel them. We are going to the Tulip Bistro and Bar.
Okay.
We were going last Thursday, but unfortunately, circumstances were not, well, we couldn't eat anything but yogurt. So, I'm building up for this. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is, of course, is Chef Spencer Vandendoel, who was the chef out at the Black Tulip in Midway. Same fabulous food. I mean, the stuff is so good. I am so hungry. That now, it's over in Chevy Chase. It's at 355 Romney Road. It's the same, well, the rest of the menu is similar. You can get steak and duck and lamb and, of course, any kind of filet and chicken. They have great sandwiches. They have fish and chips. They're out of this world. I've had the fish and chips a couple of times. And anything to do with oysters. They can fix oysters anyway, and they are out of this world. It's Executive Chef Spencer Vandendoel at 355 Romney Road. Like I said, log on to the tulipbistroandbar.com and be sure to make reservations. It's 367-6687.
All right, I got a little announcement, Jackie, too. Do that right now. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center during the month of October, we had 39 winners, 8 at Keeneland, which is pretty good. And recent winners, Bobby Sturgeon had one out of Keeneland. Don Combs had a winner at Mountain Air. Paul Garcia and Jeff McKay just sandaled. Jeff had one yesterday. Paul was the day before that. So that's 39 winners from the Thoroughbred Center during the month of October, and two this month already.
They said that Man of War thing is 6 minutes, so you've got time.
I've got time to do it. Well, I'll do this, and then we'll end it with that then. Well, here's a date to remember, Friday, November 11, 2011. 11-11-11, that's the date you're invited to Spendthrift Farm to inspect one of the most exciting runners of the year, the brilliant Tisway. The time, 8:30 in the morning, and breakfast will be served. Tisway is to stand his first season at stud in 2012 at Spendthrift Farm. He retires following victories in the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational, in which he soundly defeated Flat Out, and winner of the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. And Tisway also won the Grade 1 Metropolitan Handicap. Earlier, he had won the Grade 2 Kelso at Belmont. In the Metropolitan, a race long noted as a measuring stick for sire success, he blazed a mile and won 32-4. After the Whitney, the Blood Horse Rope put his name right at the top for Horse of the Year. In the Metropolitan, he missed the stakes record by just 1/100th of a second. And, again, quoting the Blood Horse, Tisway pulled away from the field with a powerful and sustained acceleration. That after he had taken the lead, sprinting 6 furlongs and 108-3. Tisway is by Hall of Famer Tis Now, out of a multiple graded stakes producer and half-sister to 2 Grade 1 stakes winners. It's a superb Grade 1 family. Remember the date, Friday, November 11th, 8:30 a.m., Spendthrift Farm. For more information about the Spendthrift Stallions, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee at
294-0030.
Already. We got a few minutes here, you say, Jackie?
Yes, they said it's six. You got 10 minutes.
All righty. I was going to do something with Joe Palma, and this is Man of War, of course, died in 1947 on November the 1st, and the obituary was published, was written by Mr. Joe Palma, and I took the liberty of recording that several years ago, putting it on a CD. And so I think we should pay honor to the greatest horse that ever lived and play this CD. Just remember that this week was Man of War's his anniversary, Man of War's death. So, Mary Jane, if you are ready down there, let her rip.
November 1, 1947, the death of Man of War. On Saturday, November 1, at Faraway Farm, Lexington, Kentucky, died in his 31st year, Man of War, a chestnut horse. That afternoon at Pimlico, where he had won the Preakness, at Jamaica, where he had been 1-100 for the Stuyvesant, at Churchill Downs, where he had never raced. Wherever men raced horses, word went round, Man of War died today. There was little you could actually call grief. There was instead a sense of loss, of a vacant place against the sky. The old days now at last were dead, the last link snapped. The American turf had lost, and perhaps would never have again, a single living symbol, a breathing, high-headed, fiery horse which meant racing to every man of racing and to every wandering tourist from Portland or San Diego or Athens, Georgia. To many a grizzling oldster, the news brought back a flash of recollection of a great red horse with a high head and a flying copper mane and a gladiator's thews and Fairplay's wrathful heart, surging from the barrier as Loftus or Coomer or Sandy or Schuttinger fought to control the opening burst of power that belonged to Man of War alone. On that day only, the man who remembered Sisonby or Colin or Exterminator as the better horse would have been lynched, his body dishonored, his home burned, and his children hunted, and nobody would have been sorry. For Man of War was, if not more than a horse, then more than a horse had ever been before. Years later, Willie Knapp, who pocketed him with upset and beat him for his only defeat, was to say, "If I'd known what he was to become, I'd have let him out." It would only have changed the phrasing, not the magnitude, of Man of War's story. The defeat merely shocked some players at Saratoga on Wednesday, August 13, 1919. And there may have been some second guessing around the auction ring that night as the yearlings from Henry Oxnard's Blue Ridge Stud were being sold. But when Man of War came out next time, he was odds on again. Defeat had not lessened him. He was still the invincible. Such was Man of War the Magnificent. The debate as to how he compared with Sisonby or Colin or Exterminator is idle. Sisonby, beaten once and once finishing in a dead heat, was a splendid racer. Colin broke a string which, except for him, would have extended for five generations in the Belmont Stakes. He beat Fairplay ahead. Fairplay's sire and grandsire had won the race. Two of his sons and five of his grandsons have won it. Exterminator was the grandest stayer and weight carrier and almost the most honest horse of his time. But none of these three, not even the unbeaten Colin, dominated the racing of his time in the fashion of Man of War. No horse has ever done it. He did not merely beat, he annihilated. He did not run to world records, he galloped to them. He was so far superior to his contemporaries that except for the one race against John P. Greer, they could not extend him. In 1920, he dominated racing as perhaps no athlete, not Tilden or Jones, or Dempsey, or Lewis, or Nurmi, or Thorpe, or any human athlete has dominated his sport. In appearance, he was the most majestic horse of his day. As to conformation, he was not by the rules perfect. He was too wide between the forelegs. Some call him a bit coarse. He carried his head too high. He was too big, too powerful to be a stayer. Generally speaking, the rules are right, though it is interesting to note that Stymie, currently leading money winner of the world and inbred to Man of War, lifts his head higher as he begins to roll into his tremendous stretch runs. But the rules are written for horses, not for Man of War. His stride was tremendous, longer than that of any other horse ever measured, and as you would expect, his hindquarters were tremendous, too. His leg nearly straight, the quarters wide, the gaskins thick, the hock low set and strong. But the forehand, the stayer's badge, was of extraordinary development too, muscled heavily and far down, for the cannons were short. His withers were high, so much so as to make him appear low in the back in his prime, and to accentuate the dip which came with age. His head was wide between the eyes, his head and expression were commanding. His ears were rather small, his eyes large, luminous, intelligent. His neck was long, and the first impression was that he was a long rather than a tall horse. But actually, the measurement from breast to buttock was the same as that from withers to the ground. He had excellent bone, well-defined tendons, springy pasterns, and good feet. He was as near to perfection in soundness, health, and vitality as an animal can be. Man of War lost two races, one to upset and one to the white horse, which has never lost a race. In the pride of his maturity, it did not seem as if that red flame could ever be extinguished. And in sober truth, he fought death and pain as if they had been visible enemies there in the stall at Faraway. In fact, he did not ever quite concede defeat. For in the final days, when Man of War could not stand, but could only thresh the floor as he fought to stand, Dr. William McGee gave him a sedative to spare him through those last bitter yards of that final race. A lesser horse might have been, in mercy, destroyed, but Man of War must finish out the course. He would have wanted it that way.
That was written by Joe Palmer in 1947, and nobody could write like he could.
No, that was beautiful.
Even with me reading it?
Yeah. And you had to record it because you tear up every time you hear it. Big softy.
Go on and finish out your announcements.
Oh, okay.
We've got a couple of minutes.
Like I said, of course, tune in the Breeders' Cup or go to the Breeders' Cup, or it's on. It skips around some on television. I can't remember where all it is. It starts out on TVG. It hops over to CBS for a while, doesn't it? And then it goes to ESPN. Two.
You get the first one, TVG, is the marathon for some reason. I really enjoy those marathons. I think that's great racing. I love that.
I do, too.
And then you go to ABC.
ABC.
Yeah, and you end up with, at 4 o'clock, I believe you go back to ESPN.
ESPN 2.
I don't know if it's the Deuce or what.
Yeah. And then... And at the same time, if you're not going out to the National Horse Show, you can get it on alltech.com on your computer. And then, after the Breeders' Cup's done, is the
Alabama and LSU.
Alabama LSU at 8 o'clock on CBS.
Who's going to win it, Bressy?
Who do you think, Bress?
Alabama's at home.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, well, Alabama's a favorite, aren't they?
By four.
By four?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what are those bookies out in Las Vegas now?
UK and Ole Miss.
UK. Yeah. Oh, yeah, UK and Ole Miss.
Are they playing today?
Tonight.
3:30.
Oh, yeah.
What are they on?
Well, you can put Tom on the radio and listen. You can have four things going at once.
Yeah,
that'd
there
be
you
good.
Go. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness, yeah.
Yeah, you'll need a beer. Anywho, like I said... The TV thing on your computer, whatever you call that, it's real good on alltech.com. I was real surprised. Ressi, people can log on to WLXG.com and listen to this live via, what kind of a, live streaming all over the world. All those people in China can go back to bed now that listen to this, and India and all those faraway places. And this will be on UrsoEllis.com. Not too long, our friend that puts it up, he's bypassing me. I put it up on the FileZilla or something, and he just goes ahead and does it because I think he's tired of trying to show me how to do it.
Okay. All right, well, we will be once again on early next week.
Next week, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, well, it's an 8 to 10 again, so we'll be sitting in here clocking and running the show at the same time.
Yeah.
Neither one of which we do very well. But we'll give it a shot.
It's always exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's a mess what it is. But thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. And good luck at the Breeders' Cup.